Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 67 from timingresearch.com for February 26th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 25 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I put the list together of the top requests, and you should be seeing that on your screen while I'm talking right now. And we are broadcasting today on YouTube at a special 4 p.m. time for the show. So thank you for joining us. Normally, it's 4:30 p.m., but I'm also posting the audio-only podcast version of all episodes of the Timing Research shows on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. So just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I have John Thomas here to moderate today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to John.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I'm John Thomas, the mad hedge fund trader, one of the oldest people still left trading the market. I'm the one they appointed to shut the lights out. And I have today with me Jeremy Newsom from Real Life Trading. Jeremy, are you reading me loud and clear?
Yes, sir. You sound like an angel. How are you doing, John?
That's next year. And I'm not sure I'm going that direction either.
I can hear you perfect.
Why don't you give us 30 seconds and tell us about yourself and your service?
Absolutely. So my name is Jeremy Alexander Newsom, and I created a company called Real Life Trading about 4 years ago. My mission is to enrich lives, and I do that by simply educating people on how to properly and safely invest in the stock market with day trading, options, swing trading, long-term, pretty much everything. I love the markets. I love trading. I love teaching.
Great. Well, it all sounds like an admirable goal. I'm John Thomas, the mad hedge fund trader. Been trading the markets for 50 years now. I am the CEO and publisher of Diary of a Mad Hedge Fund Trader. That is a daily newsletter and trade alert service that covers stocks, bonds, commodities, energy, precious metals, real estate, and foreign exchange. And we're looking to buy the best longs in the market and sell short the worst ones. So long, short, macro is the short name for what we do. And we are up 13.5% so far this year, 314% in 9 years. And we basically make money all the time. It's just a question whether we do it quickly or slowly. So
that's right.
With that grand entrance, where are you based, Jeremy?
I am out of Nashville, Tennessee, John.
Wow, music capital of the world.
Yeah.
You're not related to the new governor of California, are you, by any chance?
No, not to my knowledge.
some distant cousin. I just had, you know, 23andMe, that DNA search company.
Yep.
I just found out that I am directly descended from Louis the 16th, and I'm also a Neanderthal.
they give a lot of information on that.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to find when you open the when you shake the family tree. You're not sure what's going to come down.
That's right.
We have a whole list of stocks to go through now. But why don't you just start out by giving us your general market overview?
Absolutely, that's a very great point and thing to bring up. My market overview at this particular point in time: we've obviously had one of the most bullish Januaries in history, followed by one of the most bearish Decembers in history, and we are continuing. So February is continuing to slowly grind higher. We only have a few days left in February. We're going to most likely end with another strong month. So two massively strong months in a row says, I think, we're going to go a little bit higher and then chop most of March, April, May, probably June, maybe even July and August. And then eventually we'll see all-time highs later this year. But it's going to take a while of really consolidation because nothing can go straight up forever. So I'm overall bullish on the market. And about to start approaching more sideways type of trade strategies as we get into spring and summer.
Well, I'm afraid I have to agree with you. You know, we've just seen one of the steepest V-shaped bottoms in history.
Yeah.
Down 20%, up 20% in 2 months. And we basically have pulled all the volatility of the year forward. If you haven't made your year now, you're kind of screwed because I'm looking really for a sideways move potentially for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And by sideways, I mean up 1,000, down 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the big problem is that there really are no more positive surprises for 2019. We're supposed to get the trade deal on Friday. After that, what's left? U.S. earnings growth now is zero, but we are close to an all-time high in valuation. So not a good situation. You know, we're up 13.5%. We saw this coming a mile off, loaded the boat beginning of the year, and now we're were kind of sitting on 80% cash with the rest in gold and short treasuries. So it could be a tough year, especially if you're just starting the year right now, which I know a lot of people are. You know, they were terrified by the crash, caught deer in the headlights in the rebound, and now they're 100% cash with the market at an all-time high. So that said, we have a lot of names to get through here in the next 50 minutes or so. Why don't we start with General Motors?
General Motors. So what I'm going to do is I will share my screen and just kind of give you, you should be able to also see my screen, John, or anyone else who's watching. So here's General Motors. I don't personally trade GM very often. By very often, I mean, I can't remember the last time I did trade it. It's a very, very sideways stock. And I was talking to a good buddy who's actually sitting right here, my main man, Scott, talking about General Motors and Ford and just how little I've heard about this stock as far as what they've done for the world. Something exciting, something revolutionary, something wonderful. It's a little bit slower. It's very, very sideways. But the one bullish positive that I can see is we actually are making higher lows from 2013. We did make a new high back in October 2017. And it's going to look very similar to the broad market. You do have this massive double bottom. And as we trade a little bit higher, I would expect to pull back down, bounce, and then most likely just slowly grind with the trend, which could make good for some bull put spreads, put sales, or if you own shares and you're just looking to collect dividends, potentially lock in some covered call gains.
Hey, if you want to put that chart back up, I'll tell you exactly what I would do with GM.
Let's do it.
I would do a 45-42 bear put spread 2 months out, and you might be able to make 20% on that position in 2 months. I see no future for General Motors whatsoever. It's a miracle you got a double out of this thing in the last couple of years. They're 10 years behind Tesla. Their offerings in the electric car area have been weak. They are a real first-class legacy company. They're too big to move fast enough to participate in the modern economy. So I see this kind of doing a long sideways move in bull markets and going to new lows in bear markets. And of course, bear market could start any time. So I'll pass on GM, actually kind of a nice short candidate, a couple dollars up. The future is not in General Motors. And what really pissed me off about this stock, because the last car General Motors product I owned was a Cadillac limo, which I owned in New York in the 80s. And I went to open the door and I ended up pulling the handle off.
Oh, no. I've actually heard recent things about the handles with their I think it's the GMC Yukon doing very similar things. Actually, that's
well, and they did kill off about 100 people with their ignition problems. So after that, I only bought Mercedes. My last Mercedes was the V12 S600, and then when the first Tesla came out, I bought it, and I'm now three Teslas down the road, and it's the last car I'll ever buy.
I love that. I love it. Do you want me just to keep my chart up, John, and you kind of tell me where to go?
No, I think we're done with GM, and I think GM's done with us. You know, there just isn't a lot to offer right here. So next one would be Amazon, AMZN. This has been one of the top performing stocks of the last 5 years, really. And until recently, and you can see the chart is kind of stalled out here, and it's a surprisingly similar chart to Apple, which is also stalled out and going sideways. And I think there's kind of a malaise going on here with the technology stocks. You know, they had an incredible run for 2.5 years. You know, the weak ones doubled. The strong ones like Square were up 400%. And I think it's time to take a rest. And the world is kind of turning against the technology stocks. For a start, we have an administration in Washington is wildly anti-technology. You know, the trade wars and all of that take a big bite out of tech earnings. But also, this is a sector that's benefited from a strong dollar for the last 2.5 years. And while the world thought U.S. was rising interest rates, the dollar got stronger and stronger. That is over now, you know, with Jay Powell signaling a pause, which could last for a couple of years. The dollar has lost its strength. It's starting to roll over and die. And that means all the strong dollar plays are being put out to pasture for the time being. And the weak dollar plays, like China, emerging emerging markets, gold, silver, oil, they suddenly are leading the market. So they're kind of on the wrong side of history right now, and I'm taking a rest on all technology stocks. That said, Amazon probably has another double in it on a five-year view.
Agreed. Yep, agreed. So right now for me on Amazon, I have no positions at all personally. However, I agree with your sentiment, John. I think we're going to just kind of hang out and just slowly trade sideways. This one did bounce off of its 100 simple on a weekly chart after approximately a 33% pullback from its highs. So it makes sense for it to rest here. And my overall thought, look at this daily moving average chart. I mean, it is truly and inexplicably sideways.
Yeah, I call that the flat line of death.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, there's no chance to make money, and volatilities have dropped so much that it makes no sense to do anything in the options either. This is a stay away sign for a stock.
Yeah, volatility very low on this one. Even if you try to do an iron condor or something, you're really not going to get that much premium out of it. And yeah. You know, as the Bollinger starts to squeeze, at some point we could break out, and most likely we will. But until then, I think you're right, man. I'm just going to wait it out unless you can find some premium for a spread of some kind.
And by the way, that whole New York thing was totally misread by the market. I think the reason that Amazon pulled their New York headquarters idea was not because of the political opposition, because they see a recession coming.
Mm-hmm.
And why spend $50 billion on capital spending if a recession is about to hit? You can expand your company much cheaper at recession bottoms than at top. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was really all about.
I love it.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next one. I'll let you be the chart master today.
Sure.
Cisco Systems. A few people know this, but Cisco Systems is named after San Francisco, where the company was founded about 30 years ago. I used to know the founders back before they sold out. And yeah, look at that 2000 spike. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, we went from zero to $80 on an adjusted day. I remember those days very well.
Yeah.
The follow-up, not so much. But this is one of the most positive charts out there. It's certainly the most positive technology stock out there. And this is kind of a tech company that is immune to the China trade wars because they don't do that much business in China. And they have kind of a global product immune to currencies and to the China trade war. So I'd be a buyer on dips of this one. It does look kind of extended. Since the beginning of the year, we're up about 40%. But, buy the dip. And you had one, just last week. So this looks like it's breaking out to the upside, and I want to get involved.
Yep, couldn't agree more. So the reason I was pulling up that monthly chart, John, was you're absolutely correct. It's just it's a nice trend, right? You had the tech boom, and then you had the bust, and we had more or less a 18-year consolidation. But once we broke out of 34.74, it just slowly became in favor, and people started talking about it. They started doing some really good business moves, and then the technicals kind of became a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's my thought that just over the next 2 to 3 years, we see Cisco return back into its 2000 highs, as right now the trend just looks nice. The weekly chart looks, like you mentioned, looks nice. Volume is really beautiful. And the daily chart is strong. So dip buying opportunity, trend unquestionably bullish at this point. I've had a few of my traders that I work with, they've done some put sales on Cisco, and a few people got into some synthetic longs by also buying shares. So at this point, a little extended, wouldn't be buying right at this exact point in time, but on a dip, looks beautiful.
Right. So I totally agree. It's taking a run at the high. The earnings power is certainly there. And for some reason, nobody hates this company, unlike Amazon and unlike Apple. And I guess it's just, they're just too boring. And if you're an investor, boring is good. So I would definitely look to get into Cisco on any opportunity. Let's see. Next on the list, we have Mr. Softy, MSFT.
Good old Microsoft. Man, this one had a really nice breakout recently. I missed it, unfortunately. So on this day, which was the 21st of February, right after they paid dividends, just had a good, what a lot of people would refer to as a clean little breakout. You know, he had a bearish candle on the 19th, good close, had a shaved bottom candlestick almost perfectly within 3 cents. Good close, good breakout, good trend. And I did a limit buy, hoping that we would get something like this, and we just didn't quite get there. So Microsoft regaining, I believe, John, this is still the biggest market cap company in the world. Is that right?
I think as of today, it probably is, only because Apple has been so weak lately. We bought the bottom on this in December. We bought it again in the beginning of January, absolutely nailed it with call spreads, made about a combined profit of 40% between the two positions. And we are still piling people into this thing. It's really the last safe tech stock, if you want to think of it. And, I'd be buying the dips, and it's going up, but it's going up slow enough so you can keep buying in the call spreads, which are very low risk and which can handle a lot of volatility. So, blame it all on Satoshi Nadella. He's a genius. He's responsible for the doubling of the stock over the last 3 years. You know, took a tired old legacy company, gave it new blood, and it's been working great. And by the way, they have the fastest growing cloud business now on the internet.
Yeah.
Although they're smaller than Amazon, they're growing at about twice the rate of Amazon Web Services. So, in company of the future, moving big into, the software business, the cloud and so on. So definitely a buyer on dips on this one.
I love it.
Any other views on Microsoft here?
Man, I think you summed it up really well. I mean, like I said, this one, I mean, as far as just downward trend lines or downward pressure, I mean, you can't really draw anything. Just everything you draw, we just keep making higher highs.
That's a major breakout there that happened beginning of February.
Yep.
It's kind of stuck in this 100, 110 range for several months, and now it's blasting out to the upside. So that's worth at least another 10%. Mm-hmm. I'd say I just convinced myself to adding another position in Microsoft.
There we go.
Heard here first. Tomorrow morning, market's closed now, but as I get the opportunity, I'll put it that way. Man, also, look at that chart. That's an inverse head and shoulders if I ever saw one with that December 24 spike down.
Yep.
All right. Next on the menu is NVIDIA. NVDA, one of my favorite stocks. I haven't named a pet or a child after it like Jim Cramer did, but this has been a spectacular stock for us. We rode this thing from 66 all the way up to nearly 300, got out at the top in the spring when the whole sector was overbought, and then since then it's collapsed. This is a stock that has a quadruple in it, so the only question is, do you want to take that pain of it potentially moving down to this old support level here at 153, or do you just want to ignore any pain and hang on for the double? If you're a short-term trader, not a great entry point. If you're a long-term investor, this is a fantastic entry point for a 10 or 20 bagger, maybe. I know the company well. I visit them frequently. They've cornered the market in high-end graphics chips. And everywhere you look, there's exponential growth in demand. What happened last year is the Bitcoin crash basically vaporized their entire server demand from Bitcoin miners. So that allowed inventories to build up. That caused prices to crash. And that gets you an entry point down 50% from the highs. Thank you very much. So that's my view on NVIDIA. Tell people what you have to say.
Yep, John. So that's, I love that you brought that up. And a lot of people forget that. This did crash a little bit more than 50% from its highs, which you might think, its highs 3 years ago? No, its highs in October. when football was still around, just months ago. So NVDA, as far as a trade, a lot of people really like this one. I like the fact that you brought up that they have really great just chip processing, semiconductors. Here's the weekly long-term view. I'll just hide all my drawings for a second. The 200 simple is at 124.45. It's the 200 simple on a weekly chart. I think worst case scenario, we can get back down to there. But what's really interesting to keep in mind is this blue line's the 100 simple. And if I go through a list of tech stocks that have traded down below their 100 simple and is now hitting or at their 100 simple, it's a long list. I'll start with Facebook did it. Micron Technology did it. We got Apple did it. The Qs did it. Many other stocks in this industry and in this somewhat sector has done it. Nvidia still behind. So my thought is this is an easy target of 198.04. And I have a few friends of mine that are selling some puts down into this area, hoping to get put some shares, but also looking at just slowly tiptoeing into Nvidia if she does creep down into like the 150-ish area. So yes, I agree, John. Long term, really beautiful buy spot on this one.
Yeah, and selling puts is a good idea, but you should never leverage short put positions. Mm-hmm. First of all, I doubt your broker would let you do it anyway anymore. Mm-hmm. But second, that's a favorite way for people to blow up and lose all their money. They do 5-to-1, 10-to-1 out of the money, naked short puts, and then you get something like a December come along. And I can tell you your margin clerk will liquidate your position at horrible prices far faster than you will. So
yep,
not a nice position to be in. By the way, I'm telling you this because I have been in that position.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s and 90s when you could actually get away with that kind of stuff. That was before brokers figured out their customers could put them out of business with these kind of positions. So
bingo. Yeah, never leverage the put sales. Always just do the puts that you don't mind buying at those particular strikes, that amount.
And by the way, you shouldn't be using any kind of extreme leverage anywhere unless you've been doing it for a living for your whole life.
Yep.
That, you know, I know 1,000% returns are very attractive, but few people actually are able to deliver it. That said, every year, one of our followers or a couple of them make 1,000% a year return following our trade alert advice. So, and by the way, with NVIDIA, that 50% drop didn't happen in isolation. Advanced Micro Devices, Micron Technology, and Lam Research basically all have the same chart. So people are, you know, dying to find out when semiconductors are bottom, they can dive back in. And the insiders in Silicon Valley are telling me don't attempt that until the summer.
I like it.
Okay, next on the list would be your favorite beverage, Coca-Cola, KO. Yeah, a little bit of a hickey there, I would say.
Yes. Yep. So what's really interesting is I've had a lot of people bring up Coke, and especially on Twitter, people are asking me, is this the end of Coke? Is this a gap and go that just continues lower and lower and lower, pulls a Kraft Heinz and puts Warren out of business? I don't think that's going to happen, although it certainly could. The market is the great humiliator after all. But my thoughts on Coke, I do echo a lot of people's sentiments as the health conscious craze becomes more in the forefront of people's mind. People aren't drinking Coke nearly as much as they used to. People are cutting back on just general sugar products, and Coke is not nearly diversified as well as Pepsi. So with those things being said, this is a very strong gap. There were a lot of people trapped and most likely will continue to be trapped for a bit. My overall thought is I probably will try to pick the bottom once or twice on this bearish move. I don't know if I'll participate in the bearish move specifically, but if we trade back down, I'm looking at around 44.16. So only about another 80 cents to go. I'm just going to slowly keeping an eye on a bullish position on Coke. If it can give me a lower low, this is the hourly chart right here, some type of lower low, and then a little bit of a double bottom and then a break out of here, I will look to play a very aggressive long, like a very zoomed in, dialed in bullish swing trade. But as far as the bears being in control of Coke, I mean, right now they are. So any kind of bullish trade is definitely counter trend. And if you just want to go with the trend right now, it would be with the bear trade.
Yeah, you know, you look at that chart and your first question is, well, how many people did they kill? You know, did they have a bad batch of Coke go out or something like that? The reality, it was just weak guidance, you know, okay earnings, but weak guidance. And, you know, that just killed the stock. So, you know, I actually visited Coca-Cola headquarters last summer in Atlanta. For my efforts, I got a free Coke.
There you go.
They actually launch 400 new drinks a year. It's an incredible number. And they have no idea which works. They just take a shotgun effect where they'll try anything and launch it. And if it takes off, they run with it. And if they don't, they shut it down. Mm. So they are moving heavily into the organic area, health area, energy drinks with their alternative offerings. But, you know, their old line Coca-Cola brand, it's kind of like a utility. You know, sales are pretty predictable. The margins are predictable. This has long been a widow's and orphan stock, and I also think it's a favorite of Warren Buffett. So, fundamentally, long term, it's still the same old company, but obviously, the market is excessively punishing companies now with any kind of really weak guidance going forward. You know, it's sort of like shoot first, ask questions later. So, yeah, I'm a pass on Coke. Too much of a risk. We break that bottom, test a new low, then I might take a look at it, especially if the dividend is really healthy. So, the future is not with Coke, it would seem. Taking the cocaine out of it, that's what really killed them. They should have left it in there. It might even be legal in the near future. Okay, next one is another favorite, Micron Technology, MU.
Micron is a fun one. So if I go over to the weekly chart, it's going to hide some of my drawings because I do trade this one a lot. As we're looking at it, this one actually, as John was saying earlier, did have that slow crumble, but its crumble kind of started in June. And by October, it had already dropped pretty substantially. So MU from June to October dropped about 35% and then finished it up with that 50% retracement. The thing that Micron did that NVIDIA didn't quite do was bounce absolutely stupendously off of the 200 simple on the weekly chart with that whole market crash that occurred in that Santa rally right after Santa was done delivering his gifts. So that's when the S&P bounced off the 200 simple moving average on a weekly, and so did Micron. So trading down into this level, you can see that it's already blown through its 100 simple on a weekly chart, which tells me that at some point NVIDIA most likely will follow through with that as well. The daily time frame, again, I know I have a lot of lines on this. I'll just kind of delete those for now. It's in between the long 100 and 200 simple on the daily chart. So my thought on this one is I actually have a few traders who do have some positions on Micron, and they're just sitting in a little bit of a collar strategy with some covered calls and some protective puts, just letting and anticipating MU to most likely chop around in here for a bit and then eventually break out. So we'll see how long that chop takes, but overall, bullish to neutral on MU with some pullbacks in sight, but dip buying opportunities in play.
Our long-term target on this is $100 a share.
Nice.
And you can see another classic head and shoulders bottom on your chart right here. This is what you look for all day long. So I would expect us to rally up to this first resistance level here at 45 and change, stall around there, and then do a long sideways correction. Hopefully it's not 6 months. And then we blast off to the upside once the market starts discounting the other side of the next recession. That will be crucial for everybody in the stock market. So
do you ever think Micron will pay dividends, John?
They don't need to. So I doubt it. But, this is a capital growth play only, and they know it. And it's always been one of those. Mm-hmm. That's why you have such spectacular volatility in this stock. It's one of the most volatile stocks in the market. So, let the volatility work for you instead of destroy you. Get in on the dips. Long term, this is a bullish chart.
I love it.
Although I have to say, I've never gone to Idaho to visit their headquarters. It is kind of far. And anyway, they like visiting us in San Francisco much more than we like visiting Idaho.
Totally.
They're probably the best dressed people in Idaho, by the way. They're really well paid people. Okay, on to the next stock. And yes, good old Netflix. How timely to talk about Netflix with the Oscars just behind us. They were the principal distributor for Roma, which got 3 Academy Awards. First time that a foreign language picture ever got a Best Picture nomination. I thought it was boring, but everybody else seemed to like it. I guess I'm not the politically correct art film type of person. I like lots of explosions. I mean, give me Black Panther all day long.
Yeah.
But, it was an impressive showing by Netflix, and it really shows you the extent to which Netflix is coming to control Hollywood rather than the other way around. They probably provided jobs for more actors than any single company in history. There's now an app in the San Francisco area that you can sign up for to be an extra in a Netflix movie. They're filming so many here, there's actually an actor shortage developing.
Wow.
So also, their moat is so big now, they're so far ahead of the competition that it's going to be really tough for anybody, even Walt Disney, to seriously challenge their business. So obviously, we're coming up to a major resistance point here. Obviously, a monster move here, about 50% off the lows. Wouldn't chase it here, but would look to buy it on any kind of weakness. And by the way, that comment applies to much of the stock market right now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't chase it here, but would buy it on any kind of serious weakness.
Yep. Couldn't really agree more, my friend. Netflix, this is, as far as the millennial stock, this is one of the ones I put into that millennial category. A lot of people have Netflix, but if you are 40 and under, you will have Netflix for the rest of your life.
And you won't even own a network cable TV.
No, you're absolutely correct. Absolutely
correct. You will have cut your cord a long time ago. So,
yep. Totally.
I followed this company for about 20 years. It really is an amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
It started out by Reed Hastings mailing a CD in the overnight mail. And when it arrived at the other end in one piece, he said, aha, there's a company here.
Wow.
That was the beginning of it.
Cool.
I have a lot of funny stories I can tell you. Once they accidentally sent out a porn movie to a bunch of their followers, mislabeled. That caused a little bit of a ruckus. So anyway, yeah, that's the story on Netflix. Anything else to say on Netflix?
No, not specifically. I echo your sentiments. I mean, at some point, I'm hoping that we can disagree on something. But right now, I can't on Netflix. What I will say is I will talk about, I forget the exact name, and I apologize, but I think it's Bandersnatch. That was the interactive movie element that they put out recently. Bandersnatch. Did you get a chance to watch that, John?
I didn't, no. I was too busy watching Game of Thrones.
So it's not mind-blowingly amazing, but it is a great step in the right direction. So you can only watch it on a smart TV or a tablet or phone. But bottom line, it is an interactive movie where you choose the outcome. And it was an absolute hit. So many people watched it. And then, of course, they came out with Bird Box, which was a massive hit as well, all over that Christmas holiday break. And it was just a visceral campaign for people to all be on Netflix during that time. So they're going to release more of those interactive films where people can engage, they can use their phones, they can press, do this, go here, kill this person, love this person, slap this person, be with this person, hug this person. They can select the outcome of the movie. And those will continue to populate. They will continue to get bigger. More R&D research will go into that. And as they're opening up studios in Canada, getting better exchange for the US dollar for Canadian dollars, they're going to continue to grow. They're going to continue to be a behemoth. I love Netflix long term.
What was the name of that show again?
Bandersnatch, Bandersnatch. It's based off of a book, and they talk about that. But yeah, you should certainly check that out. It's really fun.
All right, always looking for the next cool thing. Okay, let's see. After Netflix, we have Johnson & Johnson, J&J.
Here we go. Good old Johnson & Johnson. My thought on this one is very simple. When you get... I think this is kind of what John is looking for and I'm looking for in this market. Let's say hypothetically we get something like this that comes into just your broader market indices would be a very viable event. Johnson & Johnson just randomly dropped. I don't remember the news story presently, but it was about
It was asbestos in the baby powder.
Asbestos causing it to drop 18% in a week. And then people went, oh yeah, it's Johnson & Johnson. So they started buying it and it's just a matter of time before this candle that came in on December 14th fills. It'll be a slow, somewhat arduous process, but this one technically chart is very sound and it's Johnson & Johnson, people. They are going to continue to just craft household products that everyone in the world will use and for a while. We'll be stuck in this range for a bit. So the 150 to 120 range, we're going to hang out in there for a while. So if you can actually capture some premium or a collar, if you have some shares, if it gets back up to 150, you can always consider that. But most likely, we'll hang out in this channel for a while. while, something like this, but longer term, buy low, sell high, and just be patient on Johnson & Johnson. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, right. We're here. We're dead in the middle of the range. Obviously, this was a screaming buy at 120. This is one of the oldest and best known brands in the United States, so it's not going anywhere. But it also has the stock chart of a legacy company, which means it's kind of going sideways or appreciating very slowly over the long term. So right here, don't want to do anything long term, looking to buy it on the dip. I'm sort of out of the baby business, so the asbestos and the baby powder didn't really bother me very much. And by the way, that rumor is many, many years old. Sort of fits into the urban, the urban conspiracy sort of world, rather than standing up to any real scientific evidence. So, but in the market we had last year, all it took was a little rumor like that, and you shaved 20% off the stock in a heartbeat. So, miss the entry point on here. Don't chase, but you get another entry point. Take it.
Yep, I love it.
Okay, what else have we got going here? We have ZS.
We're
bringing up ZS.
Yep, we are crushing this right now, John, you and I.
Let's see.
Zscaler.
Yeah, this company I do not know at all. Can't really comment on it. It's unusual for someone to bring up a stock I don't know. And I wouldn't touch it on a 10-foot pole with that chart either. We just had a tremendous run, like everybody else in the world. So I'll defer to you on this one.
I'm not a super proficient analyst on Zscaler as well. I don't know what they do fundamentally, but I actually like this chart particularly. I like the fact that it came down, broke its IPO low back here in May, had a really good rally, and had a nice gap on earnings, which realistically we did fill for the most part, but it took a long time. And what's happening is as the market's going up, is we have a newer technology, most likely a SaaS, software as a service model, more than likely. And I would love to see a pullback, but this has actually had relatively decent strength as most of the market is forming a big double bottom. This one actually formed it and already retested it and completed it back in early January. So my thought on this one is going to be strong trends. Right now it is consolidating. You do have some bearish volume. If I was going to play this on a breakout, I would be very, very quick about it. Meaning we have beautiful compression. I do like the candle. If this breaks out, what everyone's going to do is run it and then sell it. So be fast. If you play a bullish breakout on that, take your gains and then look to buy the dip, because right now the trend is bullish. And as far as newer technology IPOs go, this most likely has a lot of room to grow. We've seen a lot of these that that break their IPO lows and then eventually slowly grind higher.
Okay. Thanks for the comments on Zscaler. Next to come up is Weight Watchers International, WTW. Yikes. I can see why people are asking about this stock. They're looking for cheap stuff. They're looking for bombed out stuff. They're looking for bargains. There's absolutely nothing in this chart that shows me we're at a bottom yet. If anything, we're accelerating towards a bottom, which would be single digits. Historically, this stock used to rally every January when, guess what? People just put on a lot of weight over the holidays and they wanted to work it off. Except you didn't even get that rally this year. Oprah Winfrey did buy a stake in this company that caused the stock to triple at one point, but obviously that effect is gone. So, I haven't heard any amazing stories about this. It still looks like another worn-out legacy marketing company, which is essentially what Weight Watchers is. Believe me, the stock isn't performing badly because we suddenly have got a shortage of fat people.
Okay. Yeah, that would be accurate. So my thought on this one, you're right. It's going to be really hard to find a bottom. This, for some reason, I know it's not even remotely in the same industry, but this, it just looks like the 3D printing chart where you get this crazy run up and then there's just crazy immaculate run down. If we do bottom, the bottoms are much more rare in stocks like this. So although that is possible, what probably occurs is we're going to be doing an accumulation phase. So if you're looking looking to get in cheaper, I can appreciate that and understand it. But if we zoom out, any of these bottoms that did come in, like the one back in 2009, that accumulated for a long time. Obviously, the one in 2014, the one in 2015, the one in 2016 after the Oprah announcement. So I don't think this is just going to V-bottom. It's most likely going to accumulate for a while. Daily chart, if I zoom into the daily, every rip is getting shorted, but earnings is around the corner. So what I will throw out there is if we gap up on earnings, which we certainly could, it is very possible, if we open above 31.72, I'm personally going to buy that with my eyes closed. So I'm going to put that on the list for tomorrow to watch tomorrow morning when they, I believe, report earnings and crush it from there.
Okay. The next stock we have on our list is WELL, Welltower, which is one of the larger REITs or real estate investment trusts. Obviously, there's a really obvious chart action going on here, and that exactly corresponds with when the pause in the Fed interest rate strategy hit the market. That was mid-December. Since then, all interest rate-sensitive stocks have had monster rallies. REITs and utilities are among the most interest rate sectors. That said, now, I would say the pause is in the price. Oh, and don't buy at a quadruple top in the market. You know, our view on interest rates here is that they start to rise gradually, at first sharply later. This is probably a better short candidate than it is a long candidate at this level.
Yep, I do kind of agree on that one. I could see one argument for a bull trade. I'll talk about that, but this is the weekly perspective. And on a weekly chart, yeah, we're pulling up into some massive, massive resistance. I mean, there's never been a time in history that we've sold off from 78 before, other than 2013, 2016, 2015, and 2017. So four separate times in the past. Here's the daily chart. Earnings are out. Dividends are out. We're hanging out at the 50 EMA. So that's the only bullish thing I can find, is the fact that the low of this candle is 74.14. The low of today is 74.10. So anyone who is shorting right below there might have gotten triggered in today. So if you want to bracket trade this candle from today, and go long above it for a very fast swing trade, I could appreciate that. But kind of like John was saying, if this does break down the 50, it really hasn't retested that much from its 2019 move. So we have boom, boom, boom. This is probably some type of ugly wave four on Well. So yep, my thought is I'd like to go long on it if possible, but it would be a very, very short-term play because we are at a massive resistance on Well Tower.
Yeah, I hope whoever asked for this one was looking for a short play.
Yeah.
That's all there is. And you can see from the weakness in the last week, the short play is starting to unfold. By the way, this also says short the hell out of the bond market, in case you were wondering.
I like it. How'd you do that? Was that TLT or how'd you play it?
Yeah, TLT, put spreads, or you just buy outright the TBT.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, there's the TBT. Nice, beautiful bottom. I hate to use the word beautiful these days, but you know, great entry point on the long side for TBT here. Okay. We have a few more stocks left, and yeah, better get moving. Google, G or Alphabet. No, Google, G-O-O-G-L.
What's your talk on Google, John?
It actually has been one of the better performing FANG stocks recently. So the reason to not own this is you don't want to buy an advertising stock going into recession. That said, the company is delivering. All revenue streams are on target. So fundamentally, the strength that's there has always been there. And we have just had a 6-month long consolidation period. So longer term, I would love to get into this. But right now, like the rest of technology, we're kind of stuck in a sideways move that's going nowhere. So long term, it's a buy. Short term, it's an avoid.
Yes, long term, it is Google. They own the internet. So as long as the internet's going to be around, Google will be an absolute monster. I have a target of 1453, which, I mean, we're talking 2020, 2021, because we probably will trade sideways for a while. But yes, long term, if I don't have any shares of Google, unfortunately, but I want some. And if we ever have another split, or maybe I'll just try to start saving up and accumulating some positions on Google. However, do have this really crafty iron condor on Google right now. 1170, 1175, 1050, 1040. That's a March bull put spread, which is about 50 points away from both sides. And this one did pay about 23% overall on the risk for that particular spread. So the stock is in between the 200 and the 100. The bull put spread is below the 100 simple on a weekly chart. And my thought is for Google to run up another 6 or 7% before the end of March would probably require a relatively strong market to continue. So for now, I just expect Google to just chop around, trade sideways, and hopefully that condor works out. Guaranteed that one of the sides will work. So we'll just have to see if both of them will.
Yeah, like the rest of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next stock we have to talk about, good old American Express. That's where I used to pick up my mail in Europe when I was traveling around with a backpack in the 1960s. One of my kids works for Visa. He tells me every day American Express is going bankrupt. I tell him, yeah, but the stock market doesn't believe it. So just had a big run with a lot of the financials, obviously off of falling interest rates. And long term, I probably want to buy it. But, you know, don't expect a huge return. It's sort of a legacy stock. And the earnings are just not as great as they used to be. So, yeah, there's your move since 2016. There's a double there. But from here on, they're going to get a lot more competition from fintech companies, which are basically wiping out the entire banking sector. Mm. By the way, American Express charges the highest fees of any credit card company to use their card. And that's why you often have a lot of merchants tell you they won't accept American Express. It's too expensive to process. They charge the merchants 3% instead of 1%. So, you know, how long can they hang on to that ultra premium position? It's anybody's guess, but right now I wouldn't touch the stock.
Yes, I have to agree. I think my vote is going to be that American Express is the company that buys out Square in the next few years so that they can stabilize and stay in that industry for processing, because they need the coolness of Square mixed with the legacy-ness of American Express to continue working long term. But I don't think they're going to go bankrupt anytime soon. They have their niche. Their niche realistically is just higher end customer service, higher end credit cards, you know, with your American Express Platinum and Black cards and a few other really great opportunities there for people to leverage their capital. So right now, as far as a trade and as far as just looking at the stock market, here's the weekly chart. Beautiful that we got above this December 17th sell-off already. Took 1 week to go down, took 8 weeks to go up. So if likely we do pull back and snap back into 100, I think it will be viable. But like John said, don't expect anything great short term, because it would be a long term purchase. It's going to take a while to grind out higher.
Yeah. And if you wait long enough, Square will be the one ending up buying American Express.
Oh, I like it. Hey, man, I'm a fan of Square. So I could be that. I can appreciate that.
Hey, Blockbuster Video tried several times to buy Netflix in the old days. They originally offered $1 million for it. And they just kept waiting and waiting. And eventually Netflix wiped them out.
That's right.
Do that with American Express and Square.
I love it. Let's make it happen.
Okay, we got one more to go here. D.H. Horton, D.H.I. Okay, a lot of people were puzzled by this stock. It's a home builder, puzzled by the rally of the last couple of months because the housing data has been horrendous now for about a year. Home prices are falling. Buyers are disappearing in droves. And of course, the answer was the pause in the Fed interest rates was beneficial, not just for D.H. Horton, but the entire industry. This stock is a slave to the interest rate cycle. If the next move in interest rates is up, you want to avoid this one like the plague.
Yep. like I said, John, I would love to disagree at some point, you know, just have a little bit of a controversy. But this one, I mean, this is the daily chart, looks bullish to neutral. The weekly chart, we do have a very clear double bottom. We did close above the neckline. We have retested. It looks like it could slowly creep higher. I do like the volume coming in, but I do agree about the interest rates. I don't have any position in D.R. Horton. certain. But longer term, I mean, if you're playing a home builder or if you're a real estate investor and you like the industry, you like the sector, I love the fact that it broke out, made a new all-time high, and then kind of created what some people might call a Gartley pattern. So on a big picture perspective, I could see why that we grind higher. If interest rates don't become a massive concern on this one, then you could be playing it bullish. But how high is it going to go? I mean, are we talking 100%? No. Are we talking 20%? Maybe.
Okay, well, it's time for us to wrap up now. How time flies when you're having fun. David Cosmeter, if you can pull up my two charts, I'll give you my little advertorial, and then Jeremy can have a shot, and then we'll take off. Okay. Yeah, I see the page there. Can anybody see it?
Yeah, I'm sharing it with everyone.
There we go. Okay, well, I am the Diary of the Mad Hedge Fund Trader. My name is John Thomas. Our service is called Global Trading Dispatch. That's a daily research newsletter, weekly global strategy webinars, and 250 trade alerts a year, 90% of which make money. And by the way, we cover stocks, bonds, commodities, foreign currencies, precious metals, energy, and real estate. That is our trailing 12-month return, up 27.54%. And our nine-year return on our daily audited results is 314%, which averages out to about 33.75%. So 90% of our new subscribers cover the cost of the subscription for 1 year on the first trade. So if you want a 50-year veteran guiding your hand on every trade, come to visit us at www.madhedgefundtrader.com, and we look forward to working with you. And Jeremy, tell us about you.
So, yes, my website is reallifetrading.com. If you would like to hop over there and just check out some really fun, high energy, great content that revolves around candlestick analysis, credit spreads, option trading, and specifically day trading, feel free to pop over there, check it out. You'll love the content. My mission is to enrich lives. John, it was a pleasure working with you today, sir. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you for joining us. Okay, this is John Thomas, the Mad Hedge Fund Trader, signing off for today. Good luck and good trading.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great show. Got through the whole list and a lot of good information here. So just a reminder for everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this or any of the past shows. And be sure to join us for both shows next week. John will be back for one of those episodes, the Monday one. But I'll also have Norm Hallett, Tim Reset, Fausto Puglisi, Simon Klein, and then on the Tuesday show, Matt Buckley will be back. He's been been a while since he's been on, so we'll have him back for the next episode of Analyze Your Trade next Tuesday. And let's see, just want to thank my guests again for this episode, Jeremy Newsom of reallifetrading.com and John Thomas of madhedgefundtrader.com. Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a great day, brother.
Hey, have a good day.